There's a million fine-looking women in the world, dude. But they don't all bring you zombie takeout at work. Most of them just cheat on you. Welcome to episode 37 of Zombie Takeout. Yes, the ever publicized episode 37.
37? What do you mean?
But before we get to that, we actually have some listeners submitted.
Get out of town.
Many, many months ago, we promised, when we got got a comment from someone other than Michelle, we would read it. We would get back to reading the comments.
No offense to Michelle or anything.
No. It was just, same person week after week.
We were kind of looking a little, kind of pathetic there.
Yeah. But we got a comment from a Jade Hornet about they might be giants. Jade says, "Hey, I've been enjoying the show for a few weeks now. I can't wait to check out They Might Be Giants. Your review made it sound like lots of bizarre fun. When I first heard your description, I thought I'd already seen it. Turns out it was this flick." And she gives us an IMDb link. I'm assuming female for some reason. He or she. I apologize if Jade is in fact he. Starring Cheesemeister Larry Hagman. Have you seen it? Now, you brought up the link. What's the movie called?
It's called The Return of the World's Greatest Detective.
And it basically sounds like a remake of TMBG.
I think without the psychological aspects of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much just a bad episode of The Flintstones or something where Fred thinks he's Sherlock Holmes and Barney, Dr. Watson turns out to be a woman too in this.
And there's probably
terrible.
A love story. But I doubt there's a supermarket scene.
No, there is not. But
I'm
it's
actually
only 3 years after. I can't
which is
believe.
The surprising part.
How do you get away with that? How do you not get sued? It's
good
ridiculous.
Point. I, for one, am very curious to see it. I think we might want to talk about it on the show at some point.
I could see us doing this in the future.
Oh, yeah. A ways away, because, it is basically TMBG. We want to put a little space between them.
Right.
But,
bring in the pain.
When we have to bring some pain, it sounds like it'd be fun. And so on to this one. This is a movie that, we were joking after the show last week. I thought the episode was probably going to be very short because all we were going to say is, we love this movie. It shaped our college years. This is a very instrumental movie for both of us, I think.
I think, I was thinking that going into this, and then watching it, this movie, it's not just us. This movie shaped the 1990s.
Yeah.
This is to the 1990s what Easy Rider was to the 60s and early 70s.
I want to say that's an overstatement, but no, I think it isn't. You're right.
No, it's not. It's completely... I mean, their generation, of course, was you go out, you do things, you do drugs and all this.
Mm-hmm.
Here, for us, of course, it's what are we supposed to do with ourselves?
Yeah, Of course, we should tell you the movie is from 1994, Clerks.
Yes. I have a lot more broader things to talk about, I guess, than the actual movie itself this week, too.
Okay.
Because, this movie, obviously it shaped our lives, like you said. But the year that this came out, 1994, first of all, this is the third movie from that year that we are doing on this show.
Oh, wow.
We had Hudsucker Proxy,
mm-hmm.
and... what was the other one?
Scan the episode description.
Ed Wood.
Oh, good year.
So yeah, you had Ed Wood, you had Clerks, you had Hudsucker Proxy, Shawshank Redemption, which we probably won't do because it's
too big
for us.
Too good.
Pulp Fiction, which we could
very
well
do. I'd rather do other Tarantino, but
yeah.
It's a little too big.
Which we were just talking about last night, has probably one of the best dialogue scenes ever written in the English language when they're driving the.
I feel the need to point out too. I don't know the episode number, but go through the archives on TuesdayAfternoonShow.com for our version.
Oh, right.
That was our second April Fool's Day show.
The episode title is "Don't Sue Us, Mr. Tarantino. We Love You."
Ha.
Yeah. Oh, I almost said Fisher King, but it was The Lion King.
Ah.
Completely different
Same
movie.
difference.
And if we want to bring in the pain, we'll do The Crow.
Oh my. I
Oh.
think we'll pass on that one.
So yeah, that's the year in movies for '94. But talk about the year that shaped things. That this is the year of Nancy Kerrigan,
Oh God.
Lorena Bobbitt.
I'm actually like flashing back now. Wow.
The year Kurt Cobain killed himself, which of course was kind of the beginning of the end for '90s music, not because Nirvana was the jelly or whatever, but
I'm not
because
going to comment on my opinion of Cobain, but
the people who were making good music before that were starting to
sell
disappear.
out.
Yes, it's sell out. Exactly. So yeah, what a damn year that was.
It was sort of the it was kind of the end of the early 90s,
Yeah.
which is, I mean, on our personal on a personal note, I mean, not going to get into anything, but we've always talked about it's the spring of 94. It was a very tumultuous time for us.
Right, that's right. Tuesday afternoon show was going with me and Super Dave.
Yeah. It was just, it was, 94 actually was kind of a major year in a lot of ways.
Right.
And it fitting that Clerks happened to come out at that time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just us, it's the whole world here.
Oh,
And of course,
yeah.
I need to say something to the kids of today. They need to defend themselves against the '90s. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
Now, he was a child in the '90s.
Oh, okay.
Now, we need to actually talk about this movie, though.
Yes. Are we ready for Skydos Impromptu Plot Summary?
Oh my God! I almost forgot I had to do that.
Brought to you by Chewy's Gum.
When you don't want your lungs to be blackened and cancer-ridden, chew Chewies. So, we have two clerks,
Hence the
store
title.
workers. They're, in their, they should be in their college years, but they're not.
Well, they
They're
say.
work.
Well, Dante at one point says he. I think says he's 22.
Yeah.
Whether or not Brian O'Halloran was 22 when they made the movie, I don't know, but.
But they, they didn't graduate from college. Halloran was 25.
Oh, okay. So I think they were older, but not that much. Okay.
Yeah. So not bad. Right, they are. They're pretty much in their dead end lives there. They're not going anywhere.
Working at a
They're just
convenience store and a video store, respectively.
right. One, you have the one who wants to try to follow the rules as much as possible, Dante, who's not even supposed to be there. You have Randall, who of course wants to flout authority, yet he loves social gatherings.
But he hates people.
But he hates people. The two trying to get along there, they're buddies, of course, but it's really just about what do you do with yourself. It's really the entire movie right there. Dante's called into work. He shouldn't. It's supposed to be his day off, and he pretty much takes it throughout the entire movie. He has so many
Well said.
horrible things happen to him. He gets it from all sides.
Yeah.
And he's a bit of a jerk with his girlfriend. He's kind of unsure what to do with that too. He has a nice girlfriend who pretty much sticks up for him,
Yeah.
tries to get him to do something with his life. Yet he's fixated on this high school girlfriend,
And I may be in the minority, but I've always also thought that Veronica was the better looking of the two as well.
Yeah, you know, it's the exaggerated Jersey girl thing.
Yeah. Perhaps.
And that's pretty much it. not much happens action wise.
It's basically a day in the life.
Yeah, it's a day in the life, and it's really a stage play more than a movie if you think about it.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking about more when I was watching. Oh, you know, this should have been a stage play more than a movie.
You really could do a stage version of this very easily.
Oh yeah, hardly anything would change.
Yeah. It's just the exterior of the store and the car is really the only parts you'd have to play with.
Well, you have Jay and Silent Bob, the two local drug dealers, just hanging out like in one corner of the stage. And
yeah.
Then,
well, yeah, the car ride would be the only real...
And you don't even really need the car ride or anything. It's just
a bit of dialogue that you could move.
They leave, they come back.
Yeah.
Ah! Which I saw, actually, and I don't know, is it illegal to download something you already own?
I think technically, but you've already paid for it.
I just didn't feel like finding the DVD.
Yeah, same here. I watched it online. But
I
own the DVD.
It.
Same here.
I spent American cash in a retail establishment, so money went to Kevin's... Might have even been
already,
Jay and Silent Bob's secret stash. I don't know.
I think I spent them online, but still, money went to the appropriate places.
Exactly. But you see, if I went to find it, it would knock over half of my so it was much easier to just download it.
Mm-hmm.
If Kevin Smith ever listens to this, and you never know.
Yeah.
And if he ever does,
we've both already
understand.
Paid him, so
he's
it's okay. I would hope
that.
It's okay.
However, I accidentally downloaded a version I did not have.
Oh.
The version I downloaded actually had that scene that was missing.
Ah.
In the original. I think it was the Clerks 10. When I went to download it, it said the first cut. So
that's the one I have, the Clerks 10 with the alternate ending and
so
the
I assumed
hilarious
the
commentary.
First cut that it was just going to have the regular movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they added the scene at the funeral home.
Oh, okay. That I forgot about. I haven't watched that in a while.
They added it as the animated series Clerks.
Okay.
Including with a Joey Lauren Adams as Alyssa Jones.
Nice.
So very weird. And a nice little Wizard of Oz thing where they go from black and white when they're walking in for the scene. It kind of sweeps out into black and white like Wizard of Oz into color.
This is the Clerks 10?
I think it's the Clerks
10. I'm going to have to look for it and see if that's on there. I don't remember seeing that.
Yeah, I'd never seen it before, had no idea it was going to be on there, and I was kind of like, whoa, okay. Sorry, Mr. Smith. Don't sue us, we love you.
Mm-hmm. We've already paid for it.
Yeah, we did. We paid for it, really. It's not stealing, I hope.
So is that the...
You did immediately.
Is that the impromptu plumbery?
Yeah, that
okay.
rambled a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, that's all right.
In my defense... It is Cinco de Mayo that we're recording this.
Yeah.
There might have been some tequila involved. May or may not have been.
Okay. Now, the first thing that really jumped out at me, and I mean first, like literally when I just started the movie, I'd forgotten about the original VSQ title card, which I think they've gotten rid of since.
Which one?
The creepy clown?
Oh, Vulgar. Vulgar the Clown.
Uh-huh. I don't think he's put that on recent movies.
No. No, he has not. Mr. Hollywood has not been putting that on movies. Can't blame him.
No.
Not if he's, you know, doing the whole legit thing.
I'd actually be curious. I have Mallrats put it on video, so I'm not going to watch it, but I'd be curious to see how many movies he put that on before he dropped it.
Good question. Probably after he did, like, the Vulgar movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just guessing.
Probably. Which featured Brian O'Halloran, if I recall correctly.
Well, yeah, that's the thing with these, with the early movies here. They have the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what you love about them,
and
too.
That's not unusual for a lot of, you know, indie directors. They've got their stable. you know, they've got their people they like to work with. I mean, even at higher levels. I mean, Joss Whedon has his stable. Even though he can get anybody he wants, he's got
right.
his favorite actors. So can't really hold that against him. Although, you know, it would be nice to see. Well, actually, Anderson was in Zack and Miri. It'd be like nice to see Brian O'Halloran in something bigger. Also, another question I had at the very beginning. How did Dante end up sleeping in the closet?
Good
just
question.
The first scene in the movie, the phone rings, he falls literally out of the closet to answer it.
Well,
and
you know,
you'd expect that from, you know, Randall.
Oh, you get the sense that there was something going on the night before, you know?
Ignoring that joke?
Well, yeah. Something about a Unitarian wedding, but that's a couple movies ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, he came out of the closet. We get it, John. We get it, Uncle John. So, yeah, that's the
it's just an odd, you know, it's just, I mean, on a serious note, you kind of wonder why, how something like that would happen.
Well,
you know,
I imagine Tequila was involved.
Well,
may not have been involved.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Who knows where we could wake up on Ciste de Mayo. Mayo.
Now I have to get to my only criticism of the movie. And I think of a lot of Smith's work, although it's gotten better as he's gone along.
Right.
The dialogue is a bit overwritten.
You know why I laugh? Because I saw, after watching this, I did a little searching around YouTube. I wanted to see the alternate ending. I'd never seen it before.
Ah.
So yeah, I guess that was stealing. But it was on YouTube.
Look, but it's on
Clerks
10, so if you have Clerks 10, you have it.
No, I got the original.
Wow.
But one of the things was Siskel and Ebert reviewing Clerks, and they were talking about how the dialogue, how other filmmakers should be listening to this dialogue. And
so good. I was
taking it down.
I was worried that I would have been disagreeing. I would have been agreeing with them.
Right. I mean, they were just, this is how people talk, and, well.
Who?
You know what, at this point, this is how Kevin Smith talks.
Probably.
Oh,
but,
definitely. I mean, you listen to the guy talk long enough, you listen to his Smodcast enough time.
Okay.
This
I haven't
how
heard
he
Smodcast.
Talks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
The real
make up for stealing stuff from him. Listen to the Smodcast.
Okay, I've been meaning to check it out. But the stilted sort of overly intellectual dialogue?
Yeah.
That's Smith? Okay.
Oh,
but,
yeah, definitely.
But you're ring characters.
Well, yeah, they're speaking, you know, they're his mouthpieces. They're speaking
yeah,
for him.
Yeah, I suppose
you can get that.
Which leads to a bit of trivia. Wow, that worked out nicely.
Whoa. Scary.
I have many, many notes here, so I'm looking for it.
Volume 1.
Got it.
Okay.
The anti-smoking sentiment in the film represented Kevin Smith's own viewpoint when he wrote the screenplay. Silent Bob doesn't inhale when he puffs on his cigarettes because of this. After filming the movie, he became a 2-pack-a-day smoker.
Are you kidding me?
He was a non-smoker, apparently fairly militant non-smoker when he wrote this. And now he smokes like a chimney.
Okay, all right. I thought, you know, I went the different approach to this episode thinking that why go with trivia? I did not know that he was a non-smoker. I assumed he always smoked.
I thought so too, but that's why Pat saw it in my notes. It surprised me.
Wow. Because, I mean, Chasing Amy, everybody smokes.
Yeah,
the whole, it's almost a cigarette ad Chasing Amy. So I just assumed he was always a smoker, and that was sort of a dig at the militant non-smoker.
That's what I always figured, too. But apparently he was that militant at the time.
But looking back at this, though, I see how he was never a weed person.
No. That's why Jay is the joke of the whole thing.
You know, Dante, you know, is really the voice of Kevin Smith, and you know, and of course, I think it was what's his name, Seth Rogen or whatever, and now he's weed, you know, pothead number one.
Oh, really? Smith himself?
Yes.
Really surprising, given all of Jay's issues with, you know, arrests and all of that stuff.
Well, there's a difference between pot and what Jay uses doing. Come on.
Yeah, this is true. You mentioned that Dante's his mouthpiece. Now, this is an interesting thing I've noticed on a personal note. I've always related to Dante.
Yeah.
You know.
But of course.
I find myself liking Randall more and more every time I see the movie.
Well, that's the thing.
Because I hated Randall the first time I saw it.
No, you are Dante, but you want to be Randall.
I think I'm becoming more Randall as I get older. I was hardcore Dante back when I first saw it. As I recall, so were you back in the day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We were definitely Dante. You know, oh, yeah, sure, you know, we'll do that, trying to smooth everything over and make everything nice.
Yeah.
But really, you want to be Randall and just tell the guy, annoying customer.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, spit at him.
Yeah, yeah. You know, perhaps it was the movie theater that made me more Randall.
Yeah, I don't think I... Oh, that... I was going to say...
Our movie theater. The movie theater we worked in. Which I believe we've mentioned before.
Yes. No, I was still Dante. I think I still am, really. Not even supposed to be here tonight.
Mm.
No.
Of course, among the things that he has to do is end up staying in the convenience store, you know, till close, even though it was only supposed to be till noon. Now, what have you heard of a convenience store that closes?
Wait a minute. There
maybe
are...
I'm just accustomed to the big chains, and I don't have, you know, there are no little, you know, independently owned ones around here.
There are still independent. I've not been in Jersey for a year or so, but there are still independent convenience stores.
I'm sure there are. That probably closed, but I've never seen one.
Sure. Definitely.
I'm not saying there aren't. I'm just saying I've never seen one. I'm just a bit surprised by that because I'm used to the 24-hour thing.
No, I could get into, like, small Jersey details, but there's a bunch of them.
Okay.
And this is just to kind of date itself, really, about, you know, an independent video store.
Yeah. That's the other thing. And this is weird. This movie actually made me nostalgic for video rental places. I have, through, you know, legal or otherwise, you know, access to every movie ever made, pretty much, sitting at home.
But you want to go...
But I am nostalgic for video, for, you know, walking around a video store. I don't get it either.
Well, this show, of course, has reminded me of the days where we'd go to the, it was a Palmer Video, I believe it was called, for a while. And we would just go into, like, the horror section or whatever, and just
I'm really
say,
holding back a cheap joke on that one.
And just this, you know, let's check this one out. You know, this looks awful or this looks awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's try this one out. And yeah, we'd have no idea about any of the movies. That's how we like bumped into Dario Argento. You know, got into all that crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
No idea who he was when we picked up the movie. It was just all dumb luck.
Right.
But I guess that doesn't happen anymore these days, huh?
Mm. Well, I mean, I've spent a lot of time on Netflix wandering around looking for just bizarre, weird movies that looked amusing, but it's not the same sitting at a computer doing it.
No. No. And then an obvious joke there, too, that I'll pass on.
Okay.
Now, so what are the trivia? You said you have...
oh, yes, got plenty of trivia.
Is this going to be a two-parter or something?
No, it's not that much.
The old men relive the 1990s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need to move on to the actual movie.
The year where Al Gore sat down and had a superhighway summit about this internet thing.
There were a couple of interesting cameos in the movie.
Of course.
Grace Smith, Kevin Smith's mother, plays the milkmaid.
No way!
Yes, that's his mother.
That's his mom! Oh,
and
that's
I think
great.
We've discussed this one. I know I've talked about this one before because it amuses the hell out of me. His sister, Virginia, plays the caged animal masturbator.
Oh, okay. That's his sister.
Mm-hmm. He cast his sister as the occasional masturbator.
Well, some people have, you know, careers, you know, that they don't look forward to.
Also, despite the fact that there is no violence in the film, it was originally given an NC-17 by the MPAA based solely on language.
Well, right, that's a...
That was the big news. That's the first I ever heard of the movie before I knew anything about it.
Really?
There was this movie that got an NC-17 for language.
You know, I'm trying to think of how I actually... I think someone just said, dude, they made a movie about us, pretty much, in New Jersey. It takes place in New Jersey. You gotta watch it. So I think I saw this at a dorm in, like, 94.
See, also, the cost of obtaining the rights to the soundtrack outweighed the entire production costs.
And, of course, the production cost on this thing is just legendary.
$27,000 for the music, $26,000 for the rest of the production.
Really?
First in motion picture history. And it shows. I mean, we were talking about the great soundtrack as opposed to the score for hardware.
Yeah.
And although for Clerks there really is no score. There's a little incidental music here and there for comedic effect, but
yeah,
there's no actual score. It's all soundtrack.
Right.
And, oh, my God, I love this soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, I own this soundtrack on CD. But, I mean, there are very few soundtracks I own on CD.
Clerks is one of them.
Yeah.
You know, it ends, and this is, I had to sit through the credits, because it ends with the last good Soul Asylum song.
Yeah. That was probably my favorite Soul Asylum song. I really didn't like them all that much.
I think it's the only one I like.
Yeah, I think that was the only one I liked. And, of course, to have Alice in Chains.
Mm-hmm. Bad Religion.
Yeah. Oh, nostalgia.
The offended customer in the jizz mopper scene is buying paper towels and glass cleaner. This is the trivia, because I think it was before the show you were saying that people generally know all the trivia for this movie.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that. That's the reason I got trivia on this.
Okay.
Smith was originally intended to cast himself as Randall, which is why he gets the best lines.
Oh, really? But he's Dante. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you want to, like you said, we want to be Randall.
Yeah.
So he cast himself as Randall.
Like, you watch Zach and Miri make a porno, and I mean, you know,
that's he's Kevin Zach, Smith. Yeah,
he's
definitely.
He's Zach, and, you know, it's not a porno they made, it's, you know, this movie.
Yeah, wow. So that was the making of Clerks with sex.
Exactly.
What? I never connected that, but you're right.
I mean, it's if you know the story of them making this movie,
at the Quick Stop. Yeah,
yeah. He, you know, taped the windows shut or whatever, you know, to get the light out or whatever, something like that. Well, this one, of course, he had to have the barricade down to because they were filming at night after the store closed.
Mm-hmm. Hence the whole bunch of savages riff.
Right.
Now. On the contrary, you were saying, you know, Smith is Dante. Dante. Jeff Anderson is definitely not Randall, because Randall and the happy scrappy hero pup lady, that was hard to say, are not actually in the same room at the same time. Jeff Anderson refused to read the list of porno movies in front of her, and particularly in front of the child.
Yeah, of course they're not in the same room. You can see that, like...
Yeah, you know, it makes it obvious. Although... Her reaction shots came from someone reading the list to her. So it was a wash. She was going to hear it anyway.
Oh, yeah, and happy scrappy puppy. So how much more trivia do you have?
Just a few. Just two more bits. One I wanted to get to with my discussion points. I always love it when... You see, you know, and you see this in bars and particularly convenience stores in movies. I want a beer, or give me a pack of cigarettes. Who orders that generically?
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I'm a smoker. I walk in, I say, I give, you know, Marlboro Menthol Light 100s. You know, I used to drink, you know, and I would say, I'll have a
Well,
Guinness.
You were very particular about that.
Yeah, I'll have a Guinness.
There are some people that were just like, you know. And I guess even if they are, the, you know,
I've never
PBR
seen someone, particularly in bars, say, you know, give me a beer. Or, you know, everybody has, yeah, you're particular. But it turns out, no cigarette brands are ever named. Primarily, it is to avoid lawsuits over royalty payments, but also to avoid associating any manufacturer with the cancer Nazis.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it that makes sense why they wouldn't want to do that. And, but yeah, I mean, if you walked into a bar and said, I want a beer, it would be like, you know, the bartender's, okay, what kind?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, we had the same thing. Give me a pack of cigarettes, what kind? There's a, you know.
Yeah.
You order by brand.
I did some marketing work for the cancer Nazis, so, you know. There's blood on my hands.
Mm. I can't argue. I can't really. Well, I can't argue with the basics of the tactics and of the story, but the, you know, the basic idea. Yeah, they're bad for you. I won't quibble. There is an interesting verbal typo in the movie. I don't know if you caught it.
What's that?
When the discussion that led to our episode title.
Yeah.
When she says she slept with three people in total.
Yeah.
Including Dante. He says, "Who are the three besides me?"
I thought she...
And she gives two names.
You know, you're right.
Brian Halloran accidentally said three instead of two.
Three, sir.
Love it when that stuff ends up in movies. I guess Smith must just not have caught it.
You know, I don't know how many times I've seen this, and I'd never caught it either.
Same here. I mean, I've seen this movie I don't know how many times, but... It just stuck out that time. Because it just... Wait. Who were the other three? There are two other... You know, the math just finally hit me.
Three, sir.
And it should be noted that one of the best parts in the movie, I think. Aside from the Navy SEALs gag, which I referenced last week and I thought was used more than once in the movie. I swear I thought it was like five times in the movie. It was just once.
Nah.
Willem Black in the ambulance at the end.
What's that?
Willem Black in the ambulance at the end. That never fails to kill me. When she's sitting there, you know, devastated, you know, in complete shock, and he just gets up into the ambulance. And
says, oh, yeah.
Kills me every time.
I don't know. This is one of those movies where the entire thing is just... Mm. It's hard to break it down into bits and like, oh, no, this is the best part. I mean... It's got to be.
I can't say that one of the best. It's one of my favorites. It's not best. You can't really judge best favorites. You know, the bits that really kill me.
Gun to my head, though, and this is about, you know, George Lucas agrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's the talk about Empire Strikes
Back.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the government contractors.
Uh huh.
I mean, have you heard the story where he finally met Lucas?
No.
And Luke, the first thing Lucas says to looks at him and says, "So, government contractors
oh,
of the
nice.
Death Star, huh?"
Nice.
Something to that effect. I think I'm paraphrasing.
That must have been. I'd love to see the look on his face. You know, my hero has seen my movie.
Something like interesting. So what else you got?
One more callback to the Tuesday afternoon show. Clerks is loosely based on the Divine Comedy. Check out episodes 31 through 36.
Yeah.
Really our best work.
That really was.
It is loosely based on the Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri, hence the name.
Is it?
Uh-huh. Also, there are 9 breaks in the movie that represent the 9 rings of hell. There are 9 title cards.
But, well, yeah.
Or not 9 title cards, but 9 sections, you know.
But, yeah, well, you're familiar with the Inferno after we did
of course.
The show.
I don't get the connection, but that's what it says.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
And I get that, I mean, Purgatory is one of the sections, you know, Harbinger.
Purgatory is, you know, another book.
Well, yeah, it's the middle.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, I could see that more than
that's the only
Inferno.
One that really, looking at the list, I have the title card list here, that's really the only one that fits.
Yeah.
As far as the Inferno, the rest completely fit the movie, of course, but...
Yeah, the Purgatory would fit this more than the Inferno.
And the only other trivia I have is about the original ending. Now,
yeah.
You haven't seen the original ending.
I caught it on YouTube.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I forgot. Now, first, in the original ending, we'll spell it out for you, because it's not like we're ruining anything. If you haven't seen it, you haven't seen any of this. And it was cut, so it's not like we're ruining anything.
Wow. Tequila may or may not have been involved over there, too.
No, unfortunately. I wish I could claim that as an excuse.
All right.
In the original ending, actually, yeah, it was the original ending, Dante is killed.
Right.
The current ending of the movie, Randall's out the door, throws the sign back. Dante goes to count the money. Someone comes into the store, shoots him. Now, the depressing ending, this is the trivia, was criticized by Smith's mentors Bob Hawke and John Pearson after its first screening at the independent feature film market. And it was under Pearson's advice that Smith cut the ending short, deleting Dante's ending in death and ending the movie with Randall's departure. Fans have since analyzed the death of Dante as an homage to Star Wars Episode V, The Empire Strikes Back, which is earlier homage. Whatever.
You haven't seen Cop Out.
No. which is discussed earlier in the film as Dante's favorite Star Wars because it ended on such a down note. He wanted to end the movie on a down note,
and
circling back to that bit.
Right. It makes sense. And that is the centerpiece of the movie, that discussion about...
Yes. Which they bring back in Clerks 2.
Empire Strikes Back.
Sort of bring back in Clerks 2. Actually, it's a debate between Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and... see Clerks 2. Actually, I think Clerks 2 was a bit better, I hate to admit it.
I don't know.
By millimeters better.
This was just so
perhaps
huge, though,
only because,
you know,
of the better cast. Yeah, this is more monumental. This Clerks had more of an impact.
Yeah.
But as a movie, I enjoyed Clerks 2 a bit more.
Hmm.
Smith got, you know, learned to write dialogue a little better, had a better cast, a little more money.
Well, of course he had a better cast. I mean, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. This one he made with his friends. By the time he did two, he could afford actors.
Yeah. I think most of these guys were from, I'm not sure if they were from, like, a theater scene or anything in that area.
Yeah, I think, I didn't look it up for this, but I think I researched it in the past. I know, O'Halloran was doing local theater.
Yeah.
And there was, it's not like he just got his friends together. I oversimplified. It's not like he got his friends together and said, let's make a movie. There was a casting call. As far as I know, the only person he knew before the movie who was in the movie is Jay Mewes.
Yeah.
Who he cast as Jay because that was him at the time.
Of course.
And basically Jay said, can I be in your movie? So he wrote Jay into the movie to just put him in the movie as himself.
It's kind of amazing that we didn't know any of these people, even though it was another county.
And they're a little older than us.
Well, yeah. I guess we should explain that for those that don't know where we're from.
Well, yeah, I suppose so.
See, this takes place in a borough of Middletown called, referred to as Leonardo.
Yes.
And Middletown is northern Monmouth County.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the county north of where we are.
Ocean County. Yes, where we're from.
From Ocean County.
Basically, the movie was shot, maybe an hour and a half away from where we went to college.
Well, right.
While we were going to college there.
Pretty much. And, you know, my friend, I had a friend that moved into that area, so I drove by, you know,
or 34. That goes through Mama, 35.
I don't know. They had, that's a stupid thing about that area of New Jersey. They have three different highways, all the same numbers, about 34,
yeah.
35, 36, and 37.
Yeah, yeah.
All running near each other.
Oh, okay.
Why? I don't know. It's confusing to me. It's been years since I've been in the area, but yeah, I'd pass by the quick stop and all that. So
This is before the movie, so you wasn't
this is
you didn't.
after.
Oh, it was after. Okay.
Yeah. This is after, and you know, we did, of course, run into some people from them after the fact, and that's another story. It's another episode.
Now, and this will lead nicely into sequels and remakes. It says at the very end of the credits, Jay and Silent Bob will return in Dogma.
Now, I had wondered if that was something added years later.
I did watch the Clerks 10 version, so it may have been.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I also suspect, and I remember hearing about this, he did not expect Jay and Silent Bob to be as popular as they were. And he didn't really intend for them to be used in anything else.
Right.
He just he plugged them into the successive movies. Which is why you haven't heard, you know, he stopped using them with Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, because that was finally, you know, okay, you want Jay and Silent Bob? I'm giving them the whole movie. I'm giving them their own movie. You're never going to see them again.
Oh, they'll be back.
Until Clerks 2, of course, but I think that was the intention. I don't know this for a fact, but I get a feeling that was the intention of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Because you got to admit, it is the weakest of the Hanging Out movies.
You know what, though? I've spoken with some, you know, younger people, and that movie is like the Caddyshack.
Really?
Of, like, or the, you know, the generation before us. That they, you know, they were talking about that with such affection that, you know,
You mean the generation after us?
Yes.
Why? Their Jay and Silent Bob is their Caddyshack?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Really, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
That's what I mean. That's what I meant, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, yeah.
Yes.
Wow, because I figured my take was always, okay, you want more Jay and Silent Bob? I'm just going to give you this, you know, piece of shit movie that's all them.
Honestly, I love that one, too.
Really?
Hey, kids, it's Mark Hamill from Star Wars.
I don't know. And getting into the sequels and remakes, because that's why we're here. Sequels.
Right.
Now, direct sequel 1, Clerks 2. Again, which we discussed a minute ago, I think it was marginally better. But this is part of a series.
Yeah.
They're all related. It's quote, it's the Hanging Out trilogy, although there are 4 or 5 movies.
It's sort of a Douglas Adams trilogy.
Yeah, exactly. And I got to say, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, I know I'm in the vast minority. I think they get worse as they go along.
What's that?
I think they get worse as they go along.
Really?
I think Clerks is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Mallrats, almost as good. Dogma, well, no, Chasing Amy, a little worse. Dogma, a little worse. Jay and Silent Bob, piece of shit.
Ah, that's hard. I would definitely not say that about Jay and Silent Bob.
Did not like that one. But my point is, they kind of steadily get... I liked them a little less each successive movie.
You know,
until Clerks too.
You can tell there are movies where he has a purpose. You know that I mean, Dogma.
Oh, yeah.
There's a spiritual,
particularly Dogma.
Clerks. I mean, he's
that was his life.
Yeah, it's his life, and man, it was everybody's life. Really.
Oh yeah.
You know, look at.
Well, that's why it's held up. Everybody can relate to it.
I mean, if you think about it, what was Fight Club other than, you know, Clerks with people fighting?
That's true.
Because everybody was looking for purpose and meaning, and there wasn't the big, you know, testing, you know, event
that
shaped everyone's lives at the time. And then there's movies like Cop Out and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, where it's just, I'm just going to have some fun. And Mallrats.
Yeah. Mallrats didn't really have a point. It was really just fun.
Exactly. It's
but
just,
I liked
know?
It. I enjoyed it.
And of course, Chasing Amy had.
Well, yeah. There was that. That was the relationship movie for the 90s.
Yeah.
It was overly complicated and, you know, overly analytical, which was the 90s.
His casting was impeccable for that, particularly the extras. Another story.
I think that's on the list, so we'll get to that at a later date.
Someday.
Well, you'll see what we mean by that.
Yeah. Well, I think sequels, I didn't think he really needed to make a sequel to this.
Really? You think Clerks 2 was pointless?
Yeah. I mean, I liked the movie and all, but...
Wrapping it up does kind of step on the statement a little bit, I'll admit.
Yeah.
But also, I liked that he gave it an ending. It was the logical way to go with everything, particularly for Dante. You know, he 10 years later was still meandering.
Yeah.
And he finally figured out where he belonged, which ironically was still at the Quick Stop.
Now, as for a remake,
well, but just a little bit more on sequels. Okay. There was another TV show. A pilot for a live-action TV series was produced in 1995.
I remember hearing something about
it. It was
produced
by Disney and Buena Vista Entertainment. The pilot only referenced the character names and starred none of the cast from the original film, contained no foul language, did not feature Silent Bob. The character of Jay was featured, prompting Smith to point out that he owned the character, character rights to both Jay and Silent Bob for the purposes of featuring them in separate films. The producer's solution was to change the character's name to Ray. Smith was unaware of the production of the series until casting was underway. Smith had been in production with Mallrats at the time and attempted to become involved with the series, but became disheartened quickly as the episode he'd written for the series was shot down. He would later use a script for an episode of Clerks the Animated Series. So I think they got it all wrong.
Of course. That's what television does.
Incredibly wrong. And then he said, okay, I'm going to do the animated series and get it right, which I loved the animated series. I know it didn't last long. A lot of people hated it.
Yeah, animated series is good.
Yeah. Also, Brian...
And it's amazing with my animation theory as to why it didn't go. I mean, people eat up this Family Guy crap. No? I mean, maybe if it was on Fox instead of ABC.
I think it was a little bit before Family Guy.
Well, yeah. So, it was a lot before Family Guy.
Okay, I don't remember when Family Guy started.
But
So I don't think people quite processed animation that really wasn't for kids. Because, I mean, yes, The Simpsons were around, but that was still appropriate for kids.
Right. I think it was ahead of its time.
Mm.
And if it had been on Fox instead of a major network,
perhaps
it would have been treated differently.
Now, one more bit with the sequels and remakes. Or sequels, anyway. During press for Clerks 2, Smith briefly discussed the possibility of a Clerks 3, stating that if there's ever going to be a Clerks 3, it would be somewhere down the road in my 40s and 50s, when it might be interesting to check back on Dante and Randall.
I think I remember hearing that quote, yeah.
But I don't know about Jay and Silent Bob so much, because at 45, leaning on a wall in front of a convenience store might be a little sad.
Oh, yeah, it would be very sad. But very true at the same time, because how often do people like that move on, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's the thing, he's already settled them. You know where there are, 20 years down the road, they're going to be working at owning the Quick Stop still.
Yeah.
Hopefully not still working there. And there's really nothing more to say. Jay and Silent Bob, it would be sad, but again, they'd be where they were. Okay, now remakes.
Wow.
What do you think?
I could see it as a stage play, obviously.
Of course. I think, I hate to say it, because, I hate all these recent trend of movies becoming musicals. And I'm not saying they turn it into a musical.
You're saying they turn it into a musical.
No.
You just did.
I'm saying I'm not saying that.
But you just did by saying that you not say that.
But I think they should do... Okay, I'm just going to... I think they should do a stage version. Another movie, not really necessary.
A musical, though. I think it would be worth it just to hear someone breaking into Berserker.
Oh, wow, yeah. Oh, wow.
Now, if they were, if some foolish person were to come along and to say they're remaking this.
Mm-hmm. As a movie.
As a movie. Who do you cast?
Ooh. Well, of course, Jay Muse as Jay. You can't change that.
Hopkins as Jay.
Oh, side note. Side note.
What? What?
I'll get back to this.
All right.
So, and then...
Uchi Booches.
Complete tangent. Complete tangent.
What? What? What?
So I'm watching American Idol last night. Yes, I watch American Idol. Go ahead and laugh.
I saw it too last night, actually.
Hopkins was in the audience.
Yes, he was.
They show him. I laughed. Just at the mere appearance of Hopkins in the audience at American Idol, I laughed.
Because you thought
you
of your co-host.
You have ruined one of the great world's greatest actors for me. I can't even look at the man without laughing.
Punchline. Alvin and the Chipmunks, starring Anthony Hopkins.
I cannot take him seriously anymore.
Alvin. Do you hear the lambs, Alvin? All right. And by the way, worst idol ever.
Yeah, yeah. But we won't go down that too far, but I agree. Okay, and it gave me some time to think. Dante? Ben Savage.
Okay. Ben Savage?
From Boy Meets World?
Okay, all right, I can see that.
Because he's a little older. He's actually probably a little too old for the part now, but it'll fit.
Yeah, you know, I think that's our problem. Mm-hmm. We don't know that many young actors.
And we've talked about him before, and I've disagreed that he was right for any parts. But Randall, the fat kid from Superbad.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you completely could take the two Superbad kids.
I don't
know
about the... Well, actually, the
Sarah.
Michael Sarah, actually.
As
oh, God,
Dante?
Yeah, that would work.
And,
wow.
And the other kid,
dude,
some Jonas or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
As Randall. That's us. We're old guys who don't even know any young actor names.
But no, I hadn't even thought of Michael Cera as... And the only reason I know his name is because of Arrested Development. I'll just be honest about that. But those two, Dante and Randall, that's perfect.
Older actors, I could see Neil Patrick Harris as Randall.
Mm. Yeah.
Dante, oof, I don't know.
Actually, no, not Neil Patrick Harris. I don't really see him. I mean, all due respect, I love NPH, big fan.
Yeah.
Don't see him as Randall. But if you're familiar with How I Met Your Mother, the guy who plays Ted, I don't know the actor's name.
Is he the one that's been in, like, all the movies and stuff?
No, that's Sarah Jason
Marshall.
Segel.
Okay.
He could be
in this, too.
Maybe Randall. I could see him as Randall.
Yeah.
The other actor whose name I'm blanking on, his character on How I Met Your Mother is basically Randall. So, that works. But the two from, the Michael Cera and the other guy, I think, are really the best choices.
So,
now, Jay and Silent Bob, who else can you cast?
Oh, man. That's too, I don't know, other than Hopkins as Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think all the other parts are kind of could be anybody.
Yeah.
There's no other really important parts in the movie.
Right. So, wow.
No. Wait. No.
What?
Instead of Hopkins as Jay, although I do see the... I do see that.
Okay.
But better part for Hopkins? The caged animal masturbator.
No.
Do you hear the lambs?
Here's my Jay and Silent Bob. You got Hopkins as Jay, Harrison Ford as Silent Bob.
Okay, I can see Ford as Silent Bob, definitely. Just looking all intense, not really saying anything. He does that in most of his movies.
Now, of course, I'm completely just sucking up to Kevin Smith if he just happens to listen to this. By saying that this, 70-year-old man should play his part. Thank you. The name is Scotto. Scott. Call me.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Hey, at least we're not Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
Bastards.
So, okay, we're on to brains?
We are on to brains. And this was... Honestly, I hadn't even thought about brains this whole time because it's just, to me, it's obvious. I'm giving it the five.
You're going five?
I have to.
I was debating it because I do have the one criticism, the dialogue.
Yeah.
But that overall, I mean, it's like a 4. That just brings it down to like a 4.999999. I'm gonna round up and go five myself.
Yeah,
Because it was just so seminal, so important that, you know, I can't not give it a five for that one little issue.
it's ridiculous. Now, to those that have not seen this before, and I don't
You should be
know,
ashamed of yourself.
yeah, I don't know if I'm more disturbed by the fact that there could be somebody out there that hadn't read Macbeth for a few episodes back, or that hadn't seen this. I don't know. I put the two at the same level, honestly. You just have to get used to the fact that there is no action in this movie.
Right.
There's little
Aside from
action.
the hockey game and a little fight between Randall and Dante in the store, that's it.
Yeah, this is about dialogue,
This is
and
it's you nailed it on the head. It's a stage play.
right. And you might not you think that you might think the dialogue's a bit, you know, overthought out and stuff, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. It's overthought out, yes, but there's something to say here, and it's said in such a clear manner, and it's got to speak to you too. It just has to. It's almost timeless, I think. It's unfortunate that it's timeless, that everybody else is going through the same thing that he's gone through and these characters are going through,
Well, I
but
think that's not that's just I think he hit on something that is just one of those universal truths for everybody who is in their early 20s. You hit that point, everybody hits that wall of what the hell am I going to do with my life?
Well, you're right. And then back to bringing this back in the beginning, you know, back in the day, they just drove around America on motorcycles and snorted coke. And we, you know, tend to stay home. Yeah. I don't know which one had it better, you know, or had it right. Some next filmmaker will have to come along and settle that question.
Oh yeah, I don't know I wonder what the seminal movie for the next generation is going to be. I'm a little afraid to find out.
You never know. It could surprise us, you know. It's not going to be Iron Man, though.
I hope not.
Or Iron
So,
Man
what have
2.
we learned?
37.
And I learned that there's a bunch of savages in this town.
You know, maybe he's talking about Bricktown. Because there are a lot of savages there.
So,
Myself included.
and that's it for this week. Until next week, always go to zombietakeout.com. I'm particularly proud of the artwork for this episode. Please check it out. Of course, we got the album art, the episode description, the episode itself, YouTube, links to not YouTube itself, not the whole site, just clips from YouTube of the movie. Links
Do
to.
You like Jade Hornet? And comment.
Yes, please. Okay, screw the list thing, the list that I always do of what's on the site. You hear that every week. Yes, please. We implore you. Follow Jade Hornet's example and leave us a comment. Whether you agree with us or not, you know, just say something.
You see, Jade Hornet
if
and Michelle are awesome,
absolutely.
Awesome people. They commented.
If I deeply offended you by saying that, you know, the movies went downhill, tell us.
And really, you guys should just completely bitch slap him for that. You don't even have to bitch slap him on the website either. You can completely do it on Facebook, and you know, we'll take it from there. Don't worry, we're big enough to figure it out. We've been doing this for a while now.
So until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are.
What did you like better, Jedi or The Empire Strikes Back?
Empire.
Blasphemy.
That worked out nicely.